This is a voice of truth, a voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken word. Title of the message you'll hear today by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton is In a World of Violence, My Hope is in Christ.
We're living in a day of violence. That word violence is used every day in our papers, magazines. And we're going to look in to see what that word violence means. In the days before the flood, the scripture records this statement. In Genesis 6, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now that's what we're told was happened before the flood. Paul, speaking to the early Christians in his letter to Timothy, said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." He goes on then in 2 Timothy 3 to give us a description of the church in the last days. Listen to this description of the average church today. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, unholy, without natural affection, despisers of those that are good, traitors, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, will not endure sound doctrine. They turn away their ears from the truth." With this description of the church in these last days, no wonder the world is filled with violence. That is, burning up of lust. The world is on fire of lust. Lust of the flesh, which is fleshly indulgence, eating, drinking, gluttonous, drunken, mass fornication, and lust of flame. That word violence, the root word, means heat or in heat. Now, that is, if the humanity is in that condition, there's a breaking forth today of violence or lust of flame all over this nation and the world. Then there's the lust of the eye, which is covetousness, greed, gain. There's the pride of life, seeking at any cost to gain the preeminence. Yes, the whole earth is filled with violence, which means cruelty, injustice, unrighteousness, oppression, and the fire of lust. The result of all of this is a reign of fear without love, and if not halted, will result in a reign of terror which is slowly gripping the whole world and preparing it for the coming Antichrist and the great tribulation. Now, I'm giving you definitions of the word violence as found in the English dictionary, as found in the Hebrew, as found in the Greek. Standing in the midst of all of this spirit of violence, in the midst of this world condition, my hope is in Christ. That is our subject today. My hope in Christ in the midst of world conditions. Not only is He my hope, but He's the only hope that any individual can have and stand steadfast, unafraid, in an hour like this. One beautiful afternoon last week, I visited the grave of my dear wife. As I stood there, the thing that impressed me so much was the inscription on that tomb, which read, "She died in the Lord." We find these words in Revelation 14:13. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." To be in Christ is the greatest thing in all this world. We also are told in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, you'll find that expression, in Christ, or in Christ Jesus, or in Him, more than 250 times, showing the relationship of the believer to Christ. We are united with Christ. Then, if you'll turn to me, to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, you'll find these words, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Here in Romans 8:1, we have no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Revelation 4:14-13, you find these words, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we have the expression, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now the question is, are you in Christ? If you're living in Christ, you'll die in Christ, and you'll be raised in Christ. Yes, my wife died in the Lord. I know that. When Christ comes under midair with the shout of victory, the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel, that grave cannot hold that body. She will come forth in the likeness of our blessed Lord. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Won't that be the most glorious day we've ever had, when we shall rise from the dead, or be translated into the likeness of the Son of God, and behold Him as He is, and be forever with the Lord? What grace bestowed upon poor sinners like me and others. Our hope, my hope, is in Christ. My desire is in Him. I wish I could sit down by the side of each one of you and tell you how God saved this poor sinner, and tell you that God will save you for Christ's sake. And what joy, what happiness you'll find in Him that you'll never find anywhere else. I have a little book called When God Saved a Baptist Preacher. If you'll write me, I'll send you a copy of it free and postpaid, telling how God saved this preacher 26 years ago after I'd been preaching 25 years. Yes, my hope is in Christ, because as He is, so am I. Let me say that this hope in Christ is a living hope. It's not something that I have today and lose tomorrow. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's a living hope, and the oil of grace keeps it living. I never cease to praise Him for that hope, no matter how dark things seem to be. It doesn't matter how the world is reeling and rocking in sin and lust and violence. My Lord lives. As He lives, so I live, because it is a living hope. Then it's a godly hope. That is, it's a perfect hope. God gave it to me in Christ when He saved me. As a result of this godly hope, there is not a time. Get it now. Hold it. There's not a time but that I can turn to Him and get an audience with Him and make known all my needs and burdens and cares and joys, because when He lifted me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon the solid rock, which is Christ, He put a new song in my mouth, which was a song of praise. As Paul said in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful and glorious is my Lord. Is He yours? Do you know Christ? Are you rejoicing in Him? Does your hope rest in Him? What does Christ mean to you? Does he mean anything to you? In the midst of this world of violence, our hope is Christ. Now let's go just a little further and see what we face. Then let me ask you the question again. What is your hope? Listen to Genesis 6:11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You know, one of the best dictionaries you can find, one of the best commentaries you can find on the Bible is a dictionary. And then a Bible dictionary, and study words and phrases. Let me give you a little better literal reading of this in the Amplified Bible, where he explains what violence is. Listen, the earth was depraved and putrid in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence, desecration, infringement, outrage, assault, and lust for power. And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all mankind had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. Now that's a translation of those words, and we looked up each word in the Hebrew, and I vouch for them. Now listen, here we find that God saw the earth was depraved, which means there was no goodness there. The thoughts and the imagination of men were evil continually, according to Genesis 6:5. Also, God saw that it was putrid, that is, it was rotten inside. Now that's exactly what is happening to America today. She is rotting on the inside. Rome fell because she rotted on the inside. Nations are falling today because they are rotting on the inside. Pick up any international magazines, papers, religious or secular, and they all are telling us our weakness today is that we are rotting inside. There are one of two things that we face today, either a national revival of old-time religion, that is Christ living among us again, or a depression that will lead to a greater revolution on the inside. We are now in the midst of a civil war and revolution, if you didn't know it. We are. Revolt is against law and order. Everywhere we turn, in the midst of such national condition, what is your hope? My hope is Christ, because he's my light and my life. He is my salvation. As Matthew said, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My friend, it is not a question of being saved from hell. It's a question of being delivered from our sins, from the guilt and penalty of our sins, from the power and destruction of our sins. Our nation has so indulged in sin. Get it now? Hold your seat and listen. Our nation has so indulged in sin of every sort and description, and has repressed their guilt until they have come to the place where they've got to project that guilt to someone else. Then as a result, they take vengeance on them for their guilt. Only Christ can deliver us. Only Holy Spirit conviction can open wicked hearts and wicked minds and grant repentance to you and to the nation. It reminds me of old Jonah as he went running up and down the streets of Nineveh, crying 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Oh, that we had a national voice that could be heard crying up and down every street of every city in this land. Repent, repent, or we're gone. Jeremiah cried for Judah for 50 years, but she went down. She would not repent. Now let's go on, listen. And the land was filled with violence, which means desecration. Everything that has been holy to us now in our midst has become unholy. Our people as a whole do not know the difference between right and wrong, truth and error. Violence means infringement on the other fellow's rights, never knowing where his freedom ends and the other fellow's freedom begins. Then it is also means outrage, or the violent outbreak of a smoldering hatred. It's an outbreak of hatred and murder that's been stirred up in the heart maybe for years. Then we notice that violence is an assault, which means to attack with or without weapons, or a threat to do so. This produces fear, intimidation, panic, and terror, or the sense of dread, fright, and horror in the presence of danger, or the threat of danger. We also see here in that 11th verse that violence is a lust for power, lust of fame. Now, that's what it means, which is prevalent worldwide today. Not only as nation lift up sword against nation, but groups within nations or individuals within nations have lifted up their hands to lay hold of the power of government, which is a lust for power. It may be an individual or a group in a community that has laid hold of the entire community and is wielding the scepter of power to satisfy their own lust and covetousness. And it can come right down to our home, where somebody in the home has laid hold of that home with power of lust to control it. Now, before we go any further, let's notice these two great truths. Now, you listen. You listen. How Satan works to put over his program. God's Word warns us of Satan's tactics that he's used in every age. And poor, deceived man will fall under his power in the same way today and tomorrow as he has in the ages past. Now, his first method we find is set forth in 1 Peter 5:8. I want you to listen. You may say, I don't believe there's a devil. It makes a difference. There is a personal devil. And he has his lieutenants and his cohorts and his emissaries everywhere we turn. Listen, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Now, you know what that word means? Opponent in lawsuit. That's what the word adversary means. An opponent in a lawsuit. The devil, slanderer, as a howling, roaring lion. A lion is the king of the forest. Walketh or roams about, seeking deliberate, or he takes counsel whomever he may meet to overwhelm, engulf, and submerge the individual. This is the method of intimidation, by producing fear or intimidation that paralyzes man into subservience until he's afraid to take a stand, speak out against Satan's threats. For fear, he'll be destroyed. The second tactic, as set forth in God's Word, is this role as an angel of light. The Apostle Paul warned the church in these days, found in 2 Corinthians 11:13. Listen to God's Word. Listen. For such as cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, are false apostles, deceitful, fraudulent, workers, traffickers of souls, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, fashioning the outer cloak of their profession to conform to a Christian profession. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan fashions his cunning, diabolical work into an appearance of the work of Christ. I'll stake my destiny on that. In other words, as soon as Satan produces a widespread hysteria of fear and perplexity with each other turned on one another, he quietly rises up from the troubled sea of mankind and offers himself as an angel of light to lead them out of chaos. The world today is being prepared by Satan for his takeover. In the midst of such local and world conditions, what is your hope? My hope is Christ, because he's the rock of my salvation. He's my Redeemer, one who redeemed me with his own precious blood. He is my strength in hours like this to stand for the truth of God's eternal word, if it means a martyr's death. He is my good shepherd, because he laid down his life for me. As I've often said, my theology can be summed up in four words. Christ died for me. I have nothing to fear. For years I've been studying God's prophetic word, and I've known and preached what God says is coming upon this world, knowing that mankind is going to face in the end time, before the return of our Lord. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for the return of my blessed Lord. There's no place in the New Testament where believers are ever said to look forward to death, but to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Wait for the coming of the Lord. That's my hope. And brother, what we said back then in the early 50s are now coming to pass. And what I've said all the while about God's prophetic word is coming to pass. Now let's look at Genesis 6:12. And God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all mankind had corrupted their way upon the earth and had lost their true direction. Now God was speaking to Noah because Noah had found grace in the eyes of God. If we could only see things through the eyes of the Lord God of heaven, how different they would look. He saw the earth. Let me use a modern day word to describe degenerate. Amoral. That means the individual does not know anything about morals. He knows no difference between morality and immorality. Everything that he or she does is all right in their own eyes. In Noah's day, the earth had so degenerated until it was amoral. It had no morals. Then the scripture says that God saw the world was debased, that it had been reduced from a high to a low state in dignity, purity, and that purity had been destroyed because there was such a moral deterioration by sin, largely through sexual indulgences. When God looked upon the earth and saw it filled with violence, he saw that it was vicious, that is given over to vice, immorality, wickedness, impurity, and diametrically opposed to virtue. My friend, as I'm speaking to you, has it dawned upon you that this is the condition of the world today? The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I've been describing to you our present day condition in the very same words that God used to describe the days of Noah before the flood judgment. That being true, do you see how near we are to the coming of our Lord? And God's judgment is about to fall on a Christ-rejecting world. As you look down the road of time, what is your hope? If Christ should come today, what? Are you ready? Are you looking for his coming? I am. If he doesn't come today, he may come tomorrow, if not then. I keep on looking, and because I'm not looking to death, he said, occupy till I come. I will come again, he said. And he sent two messengers after him back to heaven and said, tell the people, my children, as I have gone away, so I'll come again. That's my hope. That's my blessed hope. Oh, may he rend the heavens and come down today for his own. Now let me call your attention to another thought in Genesis 6:12. God looked upon the earth and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, For all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost that true direction. I want to call your attention to that expression, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their directions. That means that God did not look down and see a mass of humanity corrupted, but as God looked over each individual, He saw that each one had corrupted his way, morally and spiritually, so that he could not find his way back to God. Now get this statement, listen, will you? The knowledge of the true God, Jehovah, was so completely lost that historical fragments cannot be pieced together in any fashion that resembles the truth as revealed by God's Word. The altar at the east of the Garden of Eden was forgotten. They denied blood redemption. They did not look for the coming of the Messiah like old Enoch did. All of those great old doctrines that the patriots of the antediluvian days held so precious were lost, except in the life of Noah, and they would not believe him. Therefore, every man went his own way because he had lost his direction. That is almost true worldwide today. The apostasy of falling away from divine truth is the counterpart of the ignorance of God that prevailed in the days of Noah. As I view the world situation today in the light of the world situation before the flood and the soon coming of our Lord back to earth again, my hope is in Christ. How lovely He is, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He's my beloved. I'm His beloved. In the times of the storms of life in which we live, He's my fortress, my covert, my hiding place in the tempest. He's my God. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Therefore, He's my mediator, my living high priest, who intercedes for me within the veil of the heavenly tabernacle. He's my resurrection, who resurrected me from sin, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus my Lord. And as I stood by that grave last week, and I said, one day when the shout from heaven comes, she'll be raised in the likeness of her Lord. And that's the one I'm looking forward to now, to see. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly, will you?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to tune in each week at this same time to hear another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And the title of the message you heard today was, In a World of Violence, My Hope is in Christ. We'll send this to you free and postpaid in booklet form for the asking, for the writing, and we would ask you to help us with the broadcast just a little if you can. Pray for us if you would. Goodbye and God bless you.